Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, hello, everybody, and we're back. We were only gone for 20 minutes. Here we are. We've come back. And welcome to another episode of the Buddhist Biohacker. And we're so happy to have you back. And we are going to be talking about the phases of awakening. And so I see you guys already joining all in. So come on in. There is a chat box on here. There's such a thing as super chat, but I don't know how to work it. So if you do, you guys are welcome to use it. It exists now for us. But please use the chat box to ask your questions, to share your comments and stories. We're talking about awakening, so it's always full of incredible stories, I think, from all of you that make this just as fun. So I want to invite all of you to join us for that. And just such a hot topic right now, I think. And I'm back with this powerhouse team. We've done this before and we're doing it again. And I'm joined with the lovely Tarya Ward and Julie Hoyle. Welcome back, ladies.
Thanks for having us. It's an honor to be with both of you so much.
Yes, likewise. Thank you so much. I always love these sessions.
Oh my gosh, me too. And it's just been such a great high energy day. So I'm like really happy to spend this time with you ladies. And as always, have so much respect for both of you. And I think this is such a great topic. And it's good because both of you have so much to bring to the table to support the awakening process. And so I just want to set it up for everybody who's watching. If you're going through an awakening, if you've had one recently, if you're wondering what an awakening is, whatever it is, share your story, share your experience, share your question. So that's for you. If you're listening later on Spotify, iTunes, we're accepted onto iHeartRadio, which is awesome, Google Play, any of those, we welcome you to our MeWe forum so you can share your stories there because we love it. We love to hear all your stories. We want to hear them. So all of that aside, we're in the Great Awakening. And the information that I've received from the collective is that, you know, the first kind of wave hit in November and now the second wave sort of hit in July on 7/7. And so I'm sure there's going to be many more waves as well, but what we're seeing is those of us who kind of went through and kind of stepped into our roles during this first wave are now seeing the second wave coming in. And so we have people in all of the phases, you know, from they've been doing work for 20 years to they're brand new to this, to they've had massive like fear and collapse issues with their shadow, to they're feeling super joyful and bouncy. And so I'm going to hand it off to you guys, you know, Julie, if you want to go first and just kind of talk about what you're thinking and feeling about today in this discussion and just kind of open it up.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you to everybody that's listening in or who joins later. But you know, what's been coming up for me really strongly over the last few days is to explore the topic of time and really what that looks and feels like for everyone on this journey of awakening, whether you're in the beginning phases or you're kind of a seasoned seeker, let's put it like that, or you're kind of tired of seeking and you want to just drop everything and get to the end of it. And the reason I wanted to really preface that and to put it into context is specifically here in over the last week or more, I've had dreams where I've been trying to pack everything up, literally close down my whole life and put it into one little bag. And, you know, and I'm pretty modest when it comes to accumulations, actually. that, you know, just kind of fit the most essential things in order to be able to travel into a bag, and then to take that with me into the unknown, which is really, really what I'm seeing and hearing from all the people I work with. That's exactly where we're all at. This is a time of the unknown, the not knowing, the trusting the not knowing, stepping into the not knowing, and essentially just going with what feels like the right next step, rather than sort of trying to figure everything out. And the other thing that came up after one such dream, I think this is on Tuesday or Wednesday evening, the next morning, even though I think I went to bed at around 10 o'clock that night, and I was awake around 6 or 7, which, you know, is a long period for me to sleep. I usually sleep, you know, a lot fewer hours than that. And I woke up feeling fairly exhausted. And so I asked one of the siddhas who I work with, you know, how is it? You know, I've just had all this really deep, deep, deep sleep. And I've woken up and I feel so exhausted. And she said, you have been working all night. There is a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And I know, again, this is true for everyone who's listening, you know, wherever you feel you may feel that you're at with respect to the awakening process, but really it's everybody's call to action, because we're all being called out of comfort zones. We're being called to step into the fullness of who we are, you know, whatever that looks and feels like for all of us. And we're being asked to engage more consciously with the energy of what is unfolding and is happening right now in the world. So I would really love to hear other dream experiences from people who are listening in, and especially with respect to time and what that's looked and felt like for you. Even if it doesn't make any sense, that's okay. We have a dream expert with us. I'm sure Tarja will be able to help. And I would also love to hear anything that Tarja may have to say with respect to that, because I'm absolutely certain, Tarja, you've been dreaming the same kinds of dreams with respect to the not knowing, and stepping into that which is timeless is another way of putting it as well.
Well, perfect opening, I think, Julie. Thank you so much. And I will affirm, it's kind of comforting to hear you say that. And, you know, we've had this experience before where we're having the same dream experience, and then we get on email in the morning and find out we're both having that. But I've been having the waking up every morning feeling like I have been working myself to exhaustion all night long.
Yes.
So that is really happening. And it's been a little curious, maybe frustrating to me that I remember so little of it, except for the sense it's like when I wake up, it's all there. And then quickly it just is like, it's too dense or too much or something. And so I know that my waking psyche is just saying, don't worry about the details, you know, just be with what's happening here. So I think it's okay. I kind of wish that I could recall a little more, have a few more clues of where I've been and what I've been doing. But this has been going on for a while. I mean, I would guess that probably most people listening have some sense of that. And even if you wake up in the morning and know that you've just been somewhere and have no sense of it, where you've been, I think that's kind of a typical experience that people are having during this time, because we're doing so much in the dream time, and it's gonna enter our waking consciousness as needed. I think we don't need more than we need right now, and so not to worry about that. But yes. on the subject of your packing your bags, I want to share just a story that was on my mind as I was thinking about talking about phases of awakening. You know, just excited to talk together tonight. But this is a story that I feel like represents really well what the phases can be like. And I think we all think that or know that awakening is a consistent process. It never is just over. Then you're awake and you don't have any more work to do around awakening. It's a consistent unfolding process. It's like God is evolving. The universe is evolving. There's nothing that isn't in motion evolving. And so, but this is a nice little story that I feel like illustrates it. I think last time we talked, I talked about some of the dreams and so forth that I had when I first entered the spiritual path. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge awakening to me. All of a sudden, I was aware of the whole cosmos of beings and helpers and all of that that I'd never had any real insight to before, how accessible it all was. And so here we are 20 years later. And during those years that I was on the path, we had in that community that I was in, we had a very rigorous spiritual practice. We meditated 4 times a day. So I meditated when I got up in the morning, first thing. We meditated at noon, then at dusk, and then before we went to bed. And for most of 20 years, I barely ever missed it. I was very disciplined. This is what I did. Even though I worked and was raising children, that's what I did. We fasted every Saturday. I mean, it was a very disciplined kind of community. So one day I'm sitting in my kitchen table and my little daughter, who was probably 8 at the time, I could still see her beautiful little face with her rosy cheeks and her blue eyes and her long blonde hair. And we're having a conversation. She's telling me about something that happened at school that day. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if I don't go do my dusk meditation right now, I won't have time to do it before dinner. And right after dinner, we have to leave to go to a meeting. And, you know, it's like, so I'm hardly able to listen to my daughter because I'm thinking I have to go meditate right now. And here is her, like, all of her energy and love and interesting story to tell, looking at me. And all of a sudden, something snapped. And I realized I was thinking God was in that room where I close my door and meditate more than it's in the face of this child. Mm-hmm. And really almost exactly at that moment, I gave up 20 years of meditating 4 times a day. It was like, it was over now. I was like, it was like, I felt like the meditation behind the closed door in my little meditation room was taking me away from really being in constant connection to the divine in absolutely every moment and everything and everyone. And that it was almost like then when I went and closed my door to meditate, I was stepping away from the divine instead of into the divine. And it changed everything. And before you know it, you know, it was a process. I had resigned from the ministry and moved on to the next phase of my life. So that's why I think of it as phases, because it's almost like every time we enter a phase, it's like a womb forms. So for those 20 years, I've been inside the sort of membrane of a womb that was gestating me. Mm-hmm. But then there comes that moment when it's time to leave the womb. Yes. And you give up everything that has been your source of enlightenment, mm-hmm. and awakening for all that time that's been sacred and precious and perfect. But it's time to walk away. And it's like, and I feel like, so then you walk into the next phase, and mm-hmm. that's the womb. That might have been my doctoral work and all that I was doing there. And then yes. you get born from that. And it's like these membranes form, and they are good and they are perfect for the time. And then it's time to get born out of that. And so it's like these womb spaces, these womb membranes that keep getting built. But to know that the time comes that you leave that womb and you go to the next one, and there's no final place you're going to land. It's a continuing process. And so to kind of go with it, and the birth is generally a painful thing. You know, as we know, it's not comfortable for the mother or the baby when this is happening. It's, you know, so there's a lot that you experience in those endings. So you packing up your bags right now, I thought, okay, that's what that is. I think some of us are really just packing up our bags. We're getting ready to leave the membrane or the womb of where we have been over the last however many years, whether it's a short period of time or a long one. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. We're getting born now. And here we go, you know, like whoosh.
Yes.
And it's all going to be new. It's, you know, we're going to have to learn our baby steps now in the new world, in the new life. It's going to be baby steps that we're going to learn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lisa, what about you?
Oh, gosh, I have a few things from all that, from both of you. The womb, that is, in fact, what is happening with Mother Earth. She is giving birth to a new life, and it isn't easy. And we were just talking about this in I think the podcast this morning with Deborah, I think they're all weaving together, talk about no time. But you know, some people think, she was saying that some people think that a woman who's giving birth is actually dying, when in fact she's giving birth. And you know, that is what Lady Gaia is doing right now. She is giving birth to this diamond creation template that is our new world. And it's hard and stressful, but it's actually creating something really beautiful. So I love what you're saying, Tari, about, you know, these phases of like, we're actually pushing out of this womb membrane. I think that's perfect, because it's exactly what I see is happening with our planet. In fact, got this really beautiful message, because you know, all these species are leaving the planet. And I got this message that there's going to be all these new species that come in, and that it's just another phase. You know, the woolly mammoth isn't here anymore, but we have other animals, and that there's more species that will arrive as the planet changes, and that they're just leaving because it's not in alignment with them anymore. And so it really is a gift of a time. And when you're talking about the timelessness, Julie, I think of, and the experience of time. One thing that's really come up for me is last week, for example, I had a really busy day scheduled, and all of a sudden, I just felt like very fatigued. Now, in the past, the old way, right? You keep working, you drink the coffee, you self-medicate, keep going, whatever it is you need to do. And I actually listened to myself and I thought, you know what? Spirit's asking me to do something here. And so we canceled my day. Actually, well, we rescheduled it all. And I spent 6 hours in meditation and did a lot of work I wasn't expecting to do. It was like, once you know how this goes, once you go in, it's like, oh, this is what we're going to do today. Like, this is what is happening, and connected with the planet and connected with different energies, and just really worked on the energy. And it was called to do. And in fact, I asked the community to go plug in also. Something was happening energetically that there was work to be done. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of the manifestation of timelessness in the linear reality, in which we're not operating in these constructs anymore, where it's like, I have to get my car and I have to drive to the office and I have to go to work and then I close down and then I come home. Most of us are working from home. Many of us are working for ourselves. And it's about honoring the timelessness and saying, you know what, like, this is what is meant to happen right now, and not pushing it aside for something you think you have to do or some schedule or whatever. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'd change my whole day every day, but I think it's important to like listen to that inner peace. And the other thing with the timeless piece is, I'm right there with you ladies with the not sleeping. Like, it's just this endless downloads and experiences, mm-hmm. and information and energy work. And like, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. And, you know, I'm doing okay, but I definitely have had that same conversation with, you know, the collective of, are you guys going to let me get some real rest? And it's like, maybe in 10 years you can rest. Like, it doesn't really matter. And so I'm just trying to trust, you know, what we can do energetically to keep our spirit up. And so I think of that too. I think, you know, in this birthing process, like, we're the midwives of the planet right now. And it's important, mm-hmm. for us to keep watch, For some reason, that makes me really emotional, but we have to keep watch, and the light just changed. Look at that. Weird.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's bizarre. Oh my gosh.
It is. It's like going into a blue light. Ah.
That's wild. Anyway, but we're those midwives of the planet, and we're here to keep watch and to protect her and to make sure that this birthing process and the baby that is born is healthy and whole and not restricted and controlled and bound and tied down. And so that's kind of my thoughts.
Has anybody else commented yet, Lisa, or not?
Yeah, so we have... I'm not going to be able to guess your username. It's something Phoenix Heart. I want to say it's Griffin Phoenix Heart, but I'm not sure. But they said, I woke up from a dream last week where I had to look around and figure out where I was. I was in my bed at home. When I came to more, I realized that I must have been in another dimension or place. And then Jacqueline wrote, I literally just woke up from a nap and joined your conversation because I too find myself falling asleep by 3:00. So those are our comments. So keep those coming, you guys, and share your dreams, your stories, your awakenings, your questions. We love it all. So.
Yeah, but you know, for sure.
And I think, my sense is that literally when we go into the dream time, we are entering another dimension, and it's, you know, we come back to this dimension as we awaken and have to get back in our bodies, but that's
what's happening. Yes. Yeah, you know, and the other thing that happens, and this happens a lot.
Did I freeze? Yeah.
Oh, there you went.
Did you finish? Did you finish, Tara? Did you want to say something else?
No, I finished. I don't know if I froze in the middle and didn't, if you didn't hear it, but anyway, I'm finished. I'm just saying, literally, we do enter that other dimension. It's so good to have the awareness of that, you know, that
yes, it helps.
We're bridging into the various dimensions, yeah.
So the other thing that is really worth mentioning here that certainly happened to me, gosh, in 1990, you know, a few months after the first radical spiritual awakening, which is that I didn't know which dimension I was in. Oh. And I still sometimes have that now, where sometimes the dream state overlaps with the waking state, the lucid dream state overlaps somehow, and then also, you know, I'm in the past in another lifetime, or I'm projecting into the future. So sometimes there's my head swirls a little bit. I mean, it doesn't happen quite as intensely as it did, you know, all those years ago, but it's certainly there's still that quality there now, where I'm like, wait a minute, is this a lucid dream? Is this a dream and I'm awake in the dream? Mm-hmm. Or is this the waking state and I'm remembering a dream? Or is this, you know, where am I exactly? So I kind of do focus in a little bit. What I used to have to do actually when those things started to happen is get a sense of what season it was. Where I was in terms of the, you know, the time construct, what season is it? Then I'd figure out what month it was, and then okay, what day is it? What year is it? I'd be able to kind of, but I'd have to start. I was starting out here and then bringing it in to be able to, I guess, kind of center and figure out where I was. It's the only way I could put it. So I'm guessing that other people have had similar experiences, you know, of not kind of knowing where they are, especially given what's been happening over the last 6 months, where, you know, a lot of the routines that people have had of, you know, are no longer in place, and it's easy to forget what day it is and, you know, where we are and all of those things.
Well, and to that point, Julie, I've actually found it's so much easier to go back to the old way of telling time by the sun and the stars and the moon. I've really loved it because I've actually followed, I actually have a separate calendar on my computer. I've lived off of the rhythms of the planet for a really long time. And then I have to like line it up with my regular calendar to like make sure I make all my appointments. But I think it's been easier for some reason for me to stay grounded in where I'm at, because it's really like I look outside. It's like, okay, is the sun out? Am I awake? Is it daytime? You know, is it nighttime? What's happening? I've had many, many nights I've woken up in the middle of the night, my husband as well. And we like look outside. We're like, okay, are there stars? What are we supposed to see out here? You know, is there something moving? Like, what's the moon doing? So that's something that I found is helpful, is just to go back to the planet itself and ask the planet what time it was. In fact, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, maybe it's time to like get a sundial. Remember those?
Yes.
Right. I think that's a brilliant idea. I really do. I think that, you know, as the physicists will say, time is an illusion anyway, which I always try to wrap my mind a little better around, but that it's really an invention. Time is a human invention. It doesn't really exist in the way we think about it at all. Mm-hmm. So for us to figure out how to take this time where maybe time is not as, at least we're not traveling on the freeway and meeting people at different places and doing all the things that we're so time driven. You know, if we have those moments, like you taking that time off the other day, Lisa, is so brilliant to just like shut down all the time constraints and then just go into that meditative space, and whatever we can do to just step outside of time and know that that's the real place. You know, it's like we step back into the illusion when we go back to the clock, which is fine, but as long as we know that it's the illusion that we're living. And right. And I think this is an opportunity now to just step away from time and step through. It's sometimes I feel like I live in a very small house, and I feel like I go from one end of the house to the other, and I've stepped through different veils into different like dimensions, just walking between my kitchen and my office. It's like, I have whole different sensations, memories of like whatever I'm doing is one thing, and then I take a few more steps and I'm someplace else. I think we're really learning how to navigate in time and space in a very different way. And one could think that you're losing your mind, but it's like maybe we're actually finding our mind instead of losing it.
Yeah. We have a bunch of comments, you guys. So,
oh, good. Let's hear it.
Jacqueline said, I'm having very adventurous dreams where I'm helping people. I also know I'm dreaming when I'm in the dream watching myself. I don't know if this is Gaza or Gaza. I'm guessing it's probably Gaza, but it says permaculture is very spiritual. This is where I got most of my spirituality, is sitting in my garden, converting it into permaculture, one with nature, healing the planet. Start with your backyard. And Eve says, I often have dreams where there are many rooms, like a dormitory, sometimes a hotel or a manor. Can you offer input into what this represents?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on.
That is a good one. So Tara, do you want to start with that? And I can add a little if you want.
Yes, sure. Well, in a, you know, my training is Jungian, but I don't stick to Jungian all the time. But in a Jungian sense, you know, that the approach to dreams of the various rooms are different dimensions of the self and the psyche that, you know, often if you like all of a sudden discover a whole new wing on your house, a lot of people have that dream. It's like you're discovering a whole new other aspect of yourself that had been like the there was a wall there before. You didn't know that you had that. And so often going into the different rooms is maybe a little bit like what I was saying about walking across my house, going into the different dimensions of the self and discovering new parts that maybe previously there was a much more limited idea of yourself and of the world itself. You know, in that kind of symbology, often the house is considered the self. So the front of the house is the part that faces the street. So that's our public persona. The back of the house is the more private aspect of the self and that sort of thing. So you can look at the different rooms in your dream and kind of gauge what parts of the self are being, you know, opening up to you, see what's happening in those rooms and see what's opening and what they are. Yeah. The living room is like your public self and the bedroom is the private, all that. So look at the rooms and see what you're learning about yourself.
Yeah. I you know, that was beautiful. I don't think I need to add anything other than I would say maybe just sit with the dream and do some self-inquiry around it and, you know, ask, you know, what is this showing me? What does this represent? What does each room mean? Mm-hmm. And just see what comes up. Just have some fun with it and see what it's there to tell you. I mean, I love what the way you described that, because certainly in the beginning phases, you know, after I'd had a dramatic spiritual awakening, I would have these dreams where I would be in something that kind of looked like my house, but it was always more expanded. It was more of an kind of expanded, bigger version. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I would consciously look for a cupboard or a doorway that I always knew that when I went through it, I would be in a completely, you know, different space yet again. You know that there's a movie, or there was a book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
I was just thinking of that when you said that, the cupboard. Yeah,
right. God, I loved that little cartoon.
Oh my gosh, when I read that as a kid, it was like, finally, somebody's written a book for me. So, you know, I'd have that dream again and again in different forms and different ways. And the other thing that I would get, and I still sometimes get occasionally, is that I'll either enter a hotel or I'll be in my own space and there's an elevator. Mm-hmm. And I know I have to go into the elevator. I'll call the elevator down. I'll get in there and then, you know, press whatever floor I'm going to. But instead of going to, say, the seventh floor or the fourth floor, whatever, the thing just takes off like a rocket ship. And it sometimes goes up or sometimes it'll go sideways. And I start repeating the mantra like a crazy person, you know, until the thing stops. And then it will stop and I'll be either in a different time zone. I'll be in the past, you know, in the like 1800s or something. Or I'll be in the future or I'll be in some place. And then the first thought when I get there is, how do I get back? You know, I've got to figure out how to get back. So, you know, I just love those dreams that show us you know, this movement and this the timelessness of who we are and what we're being called to, because it's really always about that, right? It's about being called and stepping into that which is timeless, which is our true nature.
I love it. Well, and Eve adds on, she said, in one dream, I was preparing for a gathering and instructing another not to let people into certain rooms as part of her add on, which is very interesting. And I just wanted to add in, so back in like 2005, when I first started the clairvoyant training program, I found this little book, and don't even ask me what it was because I really don't know, but it was this little book about hypnosis. And in the book, he talked about going to your spiritual house. And so I went to my spiritual house and this little hypnosis thing, and I love my spiritual house, and honestly, it's been, 15 years, and every room means something. I have a theater room where I can go, and I get information in that room, and I have rooms where my spirit guides live, and I have this beautiful beach where I can go and sit and commune with the collective team and have conversations, and there's this foggy space. If I walk through the foggy forest, I can go to a different time or a different life or whatever, and so it was really this crazy little training I learned in this little book. And I actually teach it in some of my classes now to some of my students because it's so fun. So one thing I want to recommend if you're having dreams with rooms and houses is to access those in a trance meditation state. Like, don't be afraid to meditate and go back to that house and connect in with it. And Robert Moss's Conscious Dreaming book is like my guide to dreaming. And he has a lot of techniques in there and a lot of great mantras to use to access dreams again. But anyway, I would just really recommend that. I think it would be good to go into your house and kind of see what it's all about in the conscious state, and then play around with it in the lucid state too. But I just wanted to offer that up because I think that the house is really, just like you were saying, Tarya, it's like your psyche and yourself. And I think you can go in there, not just in a dream. We have more comments. You guys are great. Look at all these comments. My gosh, I love it. Jacqueline says, or is it Jacqueline, maybe, what do each of you ladies do to discipline yourself into meditation practice? I'm having a hard time being disciplined with mine. Cheryl says, now my dreams combine old and new. My children are adults and babies, and my ex and my dad switch places, and people show up I haven't seen in decades. She said, I also go to my childhood house all the time. I totally do that too, Cheryl. And then Eve also says, great tips. Yes, I'll fill these rooms with my spirit team. So we have questions about the disciplines with your meditation, and then Cheryl talking about everybody old and new switching all around. So you guys keep these coming. I love it. I love reading all your stuff.
Well, I can step to the, oh, go ahead.
Just go, what was the third one? There was the discipline, there was the old and the new, and then what came right after that?
Going to your childhood house and
childhood house.
Eve,
okay.
Yeah, and then Eve just said she'll fill her rooms up with her spirit team, which is really fun, by the way.
Okay. So go, Julie, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to track it.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I can speak to the whole discipline, you know, the meditation discipline question. And that is, I would turn the meditation into a fun activity rather than a kind of a formal seated practice, which I think, you know, it can get a bit stale sometimes, you know, when you tell ourselves, oh, we have to meditate at a certain time or, you know, for a certain period or whatever. Because here's the thing is it doesn't have to be a seated practice. It could be walking on the beach or, you know, planting seeds in your garden or doing some pruning in the garden, or it could be chopping vegetables in the kitchen. You know, the whole point of the meditation is that we, you know, sit still normally, but it could be an activity. We watch the mind, and we can do that by utilizing a mantra. And we do that until the mind becomes still and takes rest in the heart. So it doesn't have to be something formal. And I think that's oftentimes where people get stuck, because two things happen. They either feel like, you know, nothing much is happening in the meditation, or their mind's still spinning, or they run out of time and think they don't have time for it. Mm-hmm. But if you actually apply the practice of meditation to everything you're doing, essentially, or as many things as you can do, like you're cleaning or you're cooking or whatever it is you're doing, then I think it just has a lot more benefit. And you're actually bringing that into your waking state and into every facet of your life, which is what you said earlier, Tara, as well. Because, you know, at a certain point, I think the formal practice does fall away, because it kind of becomes ingrained in you and it becomes second nature. And you realize that you can watch the mind. The mind can become still or be still, no matter what you're doing. So I don't know whether that helps, but that certainly helped me. And I was someone like you, Tari. I was very disciplined about, you know, meditating every single day for an hour. I'd meditate and then chant a great long Sanskrit hymn and have all these practices in place. And then at a certain point, all of that just fell away. Because those are just tools to help us connect in and realize the self, realize what is already here and has always been here. Mm-hmm. In the smile, you know, in your child's face, the smile or the presence of your child or a loved one, or in the flowers or the trees or the ocean, the sky, the clouds, whatever you're looking at, or, you know, in whoever's presence you're in, everything is one consciousness, one self.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just want to add on, because I know you're going to go into this dream and we've got more stuff that people are sharing about dreams, so here's more notes for you. But I also just wanted to add on too with what Julie's saying is, I think bringing it into your daily activities, so become really mindful when you're preparing dinner, become really mindful when you're dusting, you know, a really great practice, you know, something that I do is that reminder, like when the kids are around, is I just stop and sit down. And if they're talking to me, like really look at them and let them talk to me and tell me what they're saying, because it means so much to them. And that's actually meditation. It's really that mindfulness place. And I get very detailed with things when I get in that space. And so when I'm chopping vegetables, it's like really become present and mindful and breathe, you know, visualize the energy you're putting into chopping those vegetables, really look at the skin of the zucchini when you're chopping it. Like those kinds of things are really good, I think, too. If you're feeling like you can't be disciplined or you're stretched for time, like just let all that go and just do it. Like don't wait, just do it in your daily activities, because you actually will do those daily activities far better than you would not anyways. Mm-hmm. But here's a whole, I mean, I've never seen this text string like this. You guys. Okay. So we have, here's more dream notes for you, Tarya and Julie. I never have dreams about houses. All my dreams are about saving people, driving people through tunnels into the open to safety, and rescuing people from helicopters. So that's another one. I recently saved someone's life in a car that was trapped inside. I was the only one that was trying to smash the window. Everybody else was standing there watching her in the dream. She said, when I finally smashed the window, I heard a voice behind me guiding me that the car was on fire. And so she said the person behind her was a person or a spirit. Let's see. And then Eve is saying breath work brings her into profound meditative states. So we have lots and lots of dream stuff, because we have go back to the old and new, and children are old and young and all these things. And then we have all of the rescuing. So wherever you guys want to go with that, but lots of great shares, you guys. Thank you guys for being such a great audience and sharing all your messages and dreams and things.
That's wonderful. So Tarya, yeah. Do you want to start with that?
Sure, I'll start and then see what you want to add. First of all, let me just do a little bit with each of those. You know, I won't do a lot, but a little bit with each. Like the, when you're meeting the old and the new people, each of those characters are a character in your external world, but they also have become a character in your internal world as well. And so, just as we know the basic sort of classic archetypal, your mother is a human that incarnated and had her life, but your mother inside of you is the whole other experience. And it's kind of the same with every other person. They've activated something in you, they've enlightened something in you, they've challenged something in you, but that however that person is in your life is something that's in your own psyche that's being activated or being called into attention. You know, like what does that person activate in you that now is asking for you to understand or review that? So look at those people and what they represent as internal figures as well as external figures. And the childhood house is classic because that's where our formation took place. So this is taking you back to your origins, impressions you got about yourself, about how the world works, about your ancestral sort of inheritance of ideas. You inherit your psychology in the same way that you inherit the color of your eyes or the shape of your chin. Your psychology is an inherited thing. And so it's time later in life to review the psychology that you inherited, because you can actually work with that now in a way that we can't necessarily change the color of our eyes. But these are the things about ourselves that when we look back at our childhood, see how we developed our self-concept or a concept of the world, and now review that. So those dreams are telling you to do some of that work and see why it's coming up now, today, what's being challenged. And then the rescuing thing, there's so many ways to think about that and so many probably meanings, you know, it may be different every time. But one way to think about it is, there's different ways to think about it. One of them is maybe you're trying to save something that needs saving, but sometimes it doesn't. I think that savior principle, that rescuing principle is something that's kind of built into us in a way that we're always trying to rescue something or rescue ourselves or rescue something. So see if it seems like a good thing or if it's just producing anxiety that, you know, see how you can relate yourself to that dilemma that you find yourself in. And another thing is like breaking the car window. I just feel like that's a way of sort of breaking through the membrane so that you can actually, you know, get in touch with a part of yourself that has been enclosed or imprisoned in that way. And that you have a spirit guide saying, this car's on fire. You're going to need to, you know, like connect with that part of yourself because it's endangered. So there, you know, look at the high side and the low side, the dark side and the light side of each of these dilemmas and see, you know, they probably have something on each side of it, you know, that do I really need to be the savior? Sometimes I think, you know, the Christian paradigm is Jesus saved the world. So we all think we have to save the world. And, you know, maybe that really isn't what he was doing. And maybe that's not what we need to do either. But we have this, I got to save everybody and everything because it's on me now. Because that's sort of at the core of this paradigm, which maybe needs some review. It's like everything is beautiful as it is, and how do we relate to it in a way that we don't have to say. So anyway, there's a different ways to approach, and it's your dream. Nobody can tell you what your dream means. You know, any of these things that maybe touch an idea in you, and if you have resonance with it, then it's telling you something. If you don't resonate with it, then, you know, then move to the next thing that maybe does. You kind of go about the dream like a doctor goes, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? And you just kind of see what, you know, where it's touching you. So those are some ideas.
Well, those are beautiful. I don't need to add anything to that. Sorry, that was wonderful.
I love it too. And we have Elisa, so we have a new person. You guys are just filling this box up. I love it. She says, I dreamt that I had a phone call and it was me from the future. So I asked, how are you and where are you? And my future self was very happy with high energy and excitement.
Wow.
That's so awesome.
That speaks for itself.
It absolutely does. And I would say, let's take that as a collective dream, you know, like say, okay, she's dreaming for all of us and our future self is giving us some good information about it's all going to be great.
It really is. You know, the collective speaks to that. They said that, you know, if this beautiful golden age wasn't there, we couldn't access it. And the fact that we've been able to access it clear back to Edgar Cayce's transmissions in the 1940s and way older than that. I mean, this has been discussed for hundreds of years, if not more. But we wouldn't be able to access it if it wasn't there. And something about that message really gave me a peace of mind. You know, that if I can see it, then it's there and it's real. And so even if you're seeing it in your dream state, it's accessible. And I think that's really important for us to remember for sure.
And it's happening now. We're in it. It's mm-hmm. not like it's some future date.
Yeah.
It's here. That's, so, you know, what are we being called to is the question.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have a fun little story I can tell, just sort of related to what you're saying, is it's accessible. This was, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant with some friends. We were all just having a nice dinner and conversation was happening up and down the table. And all of a sudden I went into this space and I had this massive dream. You know, and when I came out of it, it was like War and Peace. It was like through generations, these stories went like massive. I saw how it went through all these generations and all these characters and all these times. And it was all this stuff. And I saw the whole thing and I understood the whole thing. And then I got the key message from the dream was the only path is the path to the center. That was the message I came out with. And when I woke up from that dream, sitting there upright in with friends, I remembered all of it and then it just faded away. So I didn't have the characters, the stories, the, you know, since I compare it to War and Peace, I happen to think it was in Russia that this happened. But the thing was, is that when I came back and came to and remembered all that very clearly, I hadn't been gone probably even a split second. It's like I didn't even miss the sentence the person was talking about when, and I was listening. And it just made me know that all these dimensions are right inside of the time where we're sitting right here now. And that often we're having these like entry into these other dimensions and these other experiences and these other things that we're learning and knowing and people that we're touching right as we're sitting here right now having this conversation, just to know that's happening, and that it's accessible and we're not meant to remember it all. It would be maybe our little brains aren't ready for that yet, but as they say, our brains were only using 10% of it anyway, so maybe we're getting there where we will be able to remember it all at once. So yes, it's, you know, that was just to me an example of what is going on all the time that we're not always, for good reason, not always attuned to.
Right. And oftentimes the reason that we're not able to attune to that is because we're, you know, we're in that kind of mad rush to get through the day and, right, you know, to meet deadlines and timelines and, you know, essentially be slaves to time.
Yeah.
And not be able to just kind of relax and be in that which is timeless. Mm-hmm. And then realize that actually what you've just described, Tarja, is the reality. That right. is reality.
Right. And that's a good point you make, because it was a relaxed time. It was like I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't doing anything. I was just in a relaxed mode. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And quite honestly, you know, one of the kind of the biggest frustrations in my working life for sure has been having to just kind of keep meeting the time constructs and operate in that. And function in that, because, you know, I've always, ever since I was a child, I think I told this story before, but I think I must have been 7 or 8 before I learned how to tell time. Honestly, you know, my math teacher, my mother, everybody around me was frustrated because they could not get me to, you know, tell time. Because to me, I was functioning and I had always functioned in that which is timeless. And I was having lucid dreams, out of body experiences and all those things. So I just couldn't understand time, you know, and as who could I have spoken to about that, you know? And I just then labeled myself as being, you know, dense. And I had that label over me, you know, it was a self-appointed label. But, you know, I just thought that because I couldn't tell time, I was slow and I had these problems with math or whatever the story was. But now I realize it was because, you know, time isn't real. Mm-hmm. And I just had great difficulty functioning in, you know, in these time constraints. And it's kind of ironic, actually, that I ended up moving into teaching as a profession, you know, and every single minute of every single day is all about, you know, watching the clock, essentially.
I don't know how you do it, Julie. I really don't. So in fashion, like you, when you were in a store, like it was every, you had to do a sales read every hour, mm-hmm. every hour on the hour for like 15 of those 20 years, I was writing down what we made each hour, every hour, every day, all the time, always doing this regimented thing. And it didn't matter what company or what brand or what business, it was always like every hour, this is what we're doing. And, you know, it's funny looking back at all of that now and thinking about what changed for me as a leader, because there was definitely that initial phase of like, okay, it's all about this hour. We have to do this. You know, we have to hit this number. We have to do this thing in this hour. It has to happen. And then, you know, after about, I don't know, a while, 7 years or so, you know, when I started doing spiritual work, and I had actually left, was doing spiritual work full time, went back. At some point going back, it became more about the experience of the store, the experience my employees were having, the behaviors, like what were we doing in that time? Look, my light just flashed again, really weird. But that's what it became. And the time sort of fell away. It was like, it didn't really matter anymore. I mean, it was more about like, you know, being in the experience and being in the moment, but it was really hard. Like, I don't know how you do with the teaching, because it was hard for me. And that was a while ago. I've tried to go back in, you know, a few years ago, and it's like, I can't even function in that, because it's hard. Like, even now, I really love my life right now, in that, yes, there's time, there's appointments and podcasts and things like that. But like, I really just move in this flow, and I really set up my schedule in a way that works with my flow. Like, I know certain days aren't good for me. I know certain times of day aren't good for me. And so I try to just stay with that flow. And I think that that's what the Age of Aquarius is asking us to do. So I think if you have the opportunity to reconstruct your time, mm-hmm. now is the time to do it. And I also think, and I know you've spoken to this before, Julie, but there's also this great gift of the gurus and the teachers, you know, that are with us, that they kind of can help you clear out the time too. It seems like all of a sudden, like, you wrote your book in just a few weeks, and it's like, sometimes the things can just present and you just do it, and it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
What time you have. Like, I'm so busy right now, and I'm like, I was never this busy, like, in the longest time. And it's just crazy to look at what's happening and everything. And it's like just happening. It's like, you just keep showing up and doing it, and it doesn't really matter how much time it's taking. So it's kind of a weird, it's all a very interesting, like, experiment really, isn't it?
It's amazing. Well, you know, let me speak to two things as well that happened with respect to time. One is that when Anthony and I, we quit our jobs and we took off to go live in an ashram in India in 2001. So I'm thinking, oh, fantastic, you know, I step outside the classroom, it's amazing, you know. Obviously, we'd signed up, we were going to go on staff, and they were going to find us some sort of work to do, some role. So after a few days of rest and so on, I was assigned this position in the logistics department. And my very first job that I was given was to sit in a course that was being offered. I think it was like the basics of meditation or beginning meditation or something along those lines. And one of the swamis was, you know, presenting the program. And because I was on the logistics team, I was given a schedule with how many minutes the Swami was going to speak, and then what the activities were, and then we'd chant, we'd meditate, and blah, on and on it went. So, and it was, everything was timed, like 5 minutes intro, 10 minutes this, 15 minutes this. And I had to sit in front of this massive, big digital clock with great big numbers on it, you know, and just watch the clock and count time. And I just had to laugh, because I was like, oh my gosh, I thought I was leaving all this behind when I came to India, and I brought it with me. So essentially, but you know, the big turning point with respect to time is having done the shadow work. Once I dealt with the essentials of the shadow work, and I'm not saying the shadow disappears, because it doesn't, but it doesn't kind of trigger us or create, you know, so many issues, or, you know, it's no longer unconscious. So what happened was, after I'd done that very intense work on the shadow, then I'd been able since then to be able to move through kind of a structured day, is the way I describe it, kind of a structured day with time, but still remain in that which is timeless. So it's like, I'm aware of time, but I'm in that space which is timeless, if that makes sense. And I know it does, because of what you said. And again, this is the beauty of doing the in-depth shadow work. And I'm absolutely certain Tara has had the same experience, where, you know, you're maybe working with a client, obviously you need to keep your eye on the time, but you're in this limitless space. And it doesn't have any weight somehow. It doesn't have the same feeling of constrainment or containment that,
You know, listening to both of you, I feel like Well, for you, Lisa, you know, you're doing that every hour. That sounds so like rigorous, but that was your training. That's, you know, when you were saying that, I thought that's why you can do all the things you do now. Because you're switching every hour to something else and you're just like doing it. Mm. So it's like to trust, even though those seem like impossible tasks or like, how did I do that? Or why did I do that? It just feels like that's how, well, that's what trained you. So you are really able to bring it to a whole other level now and do what you're doing. And same with you, Julie, with the classroom and then doing that with the Swami in India and doing all that, because now you're writing a book in 5 weeks and you're doing, you know, it's like, it's all those circumstances we find ourselves in are just, they're our training. And if we just accept it as that, that's when we're being initiated and trained so that we can do the next, whatever the next calling is. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. That just sums it up beautifully. Because sometimes you're like, what the heck am I doing in this place? You know, I can't stand this. I need to get out of this. It's making me crazy. Little do we realize, right?
Yeah, I think back and I'm like, whoa, what a crazy life I used to live. And I don't even know that I attach to that, but I do still have some dreams about it from time to time. And I think, oof.
Yes.
A crazy journey we've all been on. And I love that, Tarya, because it totally is a training tool. Like it definitely changed the way. Yeah. And honestly, it's part of the mindfulness. I mean, part of my detail-oriented brain. Mm-hmm. Part of it's probably an inherent thing, but part of it is because I know how important it is to stay focused on one key thing and what that can do, because I did see, you know, positive things come from that, even as regimented. And sometimes we just never wrote it for the whole day and probably got in trouble, but it's okay. Sometimes we're like, forget this thing. Let's just have a good day. And that was often the best days we ever had, was when we forgot it all. Speaking of time, our time just flies when we're together. It's just unbelievable. And I want to give both of you some space to share some things with everyone so that they have an opportunity to connect in with you. And I'm just checking. Somebody said favorite book when I was a kid. Elisa did, but I don't know which book you were talking about. But
probably Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe.
Oh, maybe so, because they're on a little bit of a delay. What a great book. God, I wanted a wardrobe after that. Didn't you want a wardrobe after that to just climb?
Yeah, man.
Did you know that C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were best friends?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they used to sit. So they wrote those books, the Lord of the Rings and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. They actually wrote them drinking absinthe at the bar, hanging out, telling each other about their visions and their dreams and their experiences. And I think, God, what a cool hangout that would have been.
Yes.
There's a lovely movie about Tolkien. I think it's just called Tolkien.
You know, really?
It tells that story. Yeah, it's worth seeing. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. I have to look at that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. Somebody just wrote to Raquel. Hi, Raquel. She says, I've read somewhere that you can manipulate time. And I know I can speak to that in that I think because time isn't real, like it doesn't actually exist, you can manipulate it because it's about coming out of that construct and understanding. I mean, you really want to get, you know, really mind blowing is there's no past lives, there's no future, it's all now. And it's all your psyche experiencing these different realities at the same time. And so, of course, you can manipulate it. And in fact, that's part of why we have those. I'm sure Julie and Tara, you guys have had this, where you go someplace and you have an experience from a different consciousness, a different time period in that location. I've had some pretty profound ones. My favorite story, Tara's heard the story. I don't know if I've told you the story, Julie. I have to tell it because it's so great. And then I want to make sure we all talk about our what's going on. But I was 16. I went with my family on a family vacation. We went to Yellowstone. We did that a lot. And we drove across Wyoming and we were going to the Black Hills, which I also love a lot because I'm obsessed with the Wild West. We get to Little Bighorn to Custer's Last Stand. And the sun was setting. I'll never forget this because it was very weird. The sun was setting. There were all these shadows. My parents were playing Native American flute music on the radio. So it was very like, we're just all kind of in our space. And we just left Yellowstone. We saw a grizzly bear that morning. So it was just this really magical time. And we pull up, and if you've ever been to Little Bighorn, it's really kind of intense because there's all these crosses all across, these hills of crosses where both the Native Americans and the soldiers were, their bodies were during this massive battle. And so we pull up, and they actually have these plaques that tell you where each battle on this whole battlefield took place, and like everyone died except one horse. I mean, it's a really dramatic, bloody story. So we pull up and you drive through it. So we pull up and we get out of the car and we stand next to the little on the side of the road in front of this, and there's all these crosses and the shadows across the crosses. And suddenly all of that went away and I was seeing the battle happen and they were fighting. And oh, just talking about it really just activates me because it was so intense. So, I mean, I was there, I was seeing them fight. I was feeling the frightening panic of what was happening and the devastation and the fear for my own life. And then it was really, really funny because my dad walked in front of me and it was literally like a movie where the vision kind of disappeared. And it was like, Dad, you're walking on the people. I mean, I shouted, I was 16 and I shouted, I was like, Dad, you're walking on the people. Like, you have to move. Like, it was so intense and I had tears streaming down my face. And what was really crazy, I've had other experiences like that, but what was unique about this is my mom had the same vision at the same time. And so she and I had grabbed onto each other's arms. We were standing next to each other. And so after my dad walked through and it kind of fizzled, I was like, Mom, did you see what I saw? And she goes, I saw what you saw. And it was just such a powerful, because it's all happening at once. It's all mm-hmm. happening. Those experiences, positive and traumatic. And so I love that story because it really was just so moving. And I'm really drawn to that area and have been back multiple times since for whatever reason. And but yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, if there's anything you want to say or share or whatever, but it was just, it was one of those moments I'll just never forget because it just, I was just in a different dimension. I mean, that was just it. I was just in a completely different consciousness at that time. So.
Wow. And it kind of imprints itself as well. That's why you can go back to it so easily, right? The energy of it is still there.
Yeah.
You're kind of still in it when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, just said about it's all happening at once. I think that's the thing. It isn't past. And it's happening now. You know, past, present, and future are an illusion anyway. It's remarkable that you and your mother had that at the same time. That's just really something that you stepped into that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things where you just never, and I think it's really important for everyone to realize like the positive of that too, is you can access, like, I think like this is the perfect time to like sit and like look at your future, look at your future, because it's actually right now. And so look and say, like, who am I? Like, mm-hmm. you know, what am I creating, and really take ownership of it. And I think that's, you know, the integration that I've experienced this year myself is that divine authority, that sovereignty within myself, that I am creating this because I mm-hmm. am we and we are that, right? Like, it's all of us together doing this, and it's you with all the yous. And so it's bringing all the yous back together to create this incredible space that we're headed. And we all said, oh my God, put me in this avatar body so I can go do this. I want to do it. Like, yeah. I'm going to guess that most of us raised our hands on the starship and said, I'm going. Like, that sounds pretty cool. Like, I love going there. I love that place. Like, let's go do this. And so let's do it. Like, I think that's just what I feel. I just feel this joy about it, actually. I feel like, yes, there's going to be a lot of, you know, dismantling, I think is the nice word to say it, but it's also going to be for such good reasons.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. Let's, you know, instead of going to be, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is right now. This is it. It's happening.
Yes. And just like you said, Julie, it's happening. Like, we're in it right now. We're living that right now. And so just live it. I'm living it right now. I mean, we are really happy. And it's okay. I've had so many of you come to me and say, I feel bad because things are so good. And I'm like, don't feel bad. I'm joyful. It's okay. Like, it's okay to be happy. And it's also okay to put that joy into the planet and into those who are experiencing trauma, because there's a significant amount of trauma that's being released out of our planet. Ancient traumas, yes. Not even civil war traumas or revolutionary war or, you know, the Roman Empire. It's like old, old traumas from this planet that are being released, and just hold it like that baby you're talking about, Taria. Like, it's traumatic to be born. I'm pretty sure it's stressful. Like, you come out of this place, you forget everything you remembered, and you're like naked and cold and like in this weird place. And like, that's what we're feeling. That's the trauma of it. But let's just hold each other in that space and like put blankets on each other and like keep each other warm and safe. And I don't know where all this womb, baby, whatever, but I love it so much. Yeah. So I do want to give us space, and you guys are awesome. I love everybody, like all the hearts and love and comments. And I would encourage you to keep sharing them on the video. Just continue to comment on the video. Go to MeWe and share them. If you're listening on this on audio, please go to MeWe. I've seen some people come from some of the different radio stations we're on, and I'm happy to have you. So just keep that coming. But I want to give, Taria, I want you to share about your dream symposiums that you do and anything else that you have going on that's upcoming. And then Julie, Julie's our feature this month, and she's going to be live on Saturday, and I'll give you that information at the end, but I really want you to just share a little bit about your new book too. So whichever, you know, whoever wants to, if Taria, you want to share first, and then Julie, you can share, and just so we have space for that before we complete.
Well, yes, I should, maybe I do have my calendar here so I can say the date. My colleague Jocelyn Mercado and I, do a monthly dream symposium, and it's at 1:00 Eastern time on a Friday every month. This coming next one is on Friday, August 14th. And so during these symposiums, people call in from all over the world. It's a global community dream symposium, and we have people, dreamers from various continents and countries all over the world. And it's fascinating. And then we listen to the dreams that people feel called to share. And it is an amazing thing to see the sort of the thematic things, how the dreams build on each other, and the sort of the through line of the dreams. And what, you know, the idea of this is that Indigenous people the world over, even still today, but from the beginning of time, listen to the dreams of the village every day. Get up like 4 or 5 in the morning and listen to the dreams of the people in the village. And that's how they know what's going on, what's really going on in the world. And when to plant, when to hunt, you know, when danger is coming, when weather is coming, what the cosmology is, all of that is delivered to them in the dreams, and they listen to each other's dreams. And so my colleague and I were wishing that we had that in our lives. And then we thought, well, why don't we create it? So that's what we're doing. And so we've been doing it every month for 3 years, and you're all welcome. It's free. You can make a donation if you want. And if not, please don't let that stop you. If you just come, it's free community thing. And so if you go to my website, tariaward.com, and go to the Dream Symposium page, there's a place to register. If you register for the Dream Symposium, then you'll get the notices of when they're coming. And you'll get the recordings. If you can't make it live, you can hear it afterwards. And a lot of people, like in Australia and so forth, can't make it live, but they listen to it, you know, religiously afterwards, and comment and send me their dreams, and I read their dreams. So yeah, so it's a wonderful event for dreamers and for all of us to get, you know, what the dreaming mind of the planet wants us to pay attention to each month. So. Yeah, I'll just stop with that. I have other things, but that stop with that, and love to hear what you're doing, Julie.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tari. I mean, I love that. I've actually joined a few of your dreaming symposiums, and they're just wonderful and incredibly supportive at this, you know, at this time. Mm-hmm. And really insightful, because it does make you realize we're all dreaming the same things, essentially.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you've enjoyed them. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So with respect to what I'm doing, my big exciting news, as Lisa referenced, is that I just finished and uploaded a brand new book this past Sunday, titled Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself. And I'm really excited about it because I've been getting amazing feedback. It's just been so well received, and it was a joy to write. And, you know, it feels really good to have such a good response. And, you know, details of that you can find on my website, juliehoyle.org. And also, since I'm Lisa very kindly, you know, put me in a position where I'm the feature presenter, I guess you call it, mm-hmm. for the month of August. So, you know, everybody that is coming onto the Buddhist Biohacker platform has been invited to just take a look at my course offerings and what I actually do, and also read my books. I've actually got three books. The first one is An Awakened Life, A Journey of Transformation, which details the radical spiritual awakening I had. The second book is Living an Awakened Life, which is kind of like a handbook on how to utilize various self-inquiry practices and so on and so forth to be able to live true to who we are. And then the most recent one, the new one, is, you know, Meeting the Shadow, Finding Yourself. So all of that said, I'm going to be offering a 2-hour question and answer session, again with the lovely host Lisa, on the Buddhist Biohacker platform on Saturday at 11 a.m. MT, 1 p.m. ET. And, you know, everybody's invited to join the party and to come along and ask questions and to share and to have this really in-depth conversation about the awakening process, deepening into that, working with the shadow, and then ending the search. So it's going to be a pretty intense conversation, and it's going to be really activated because the Siddhas, the great beings I work with, have told me so, that the whole, you know, time that we have online will be very much activated. So it'd be really great for as many people as possible to turn up, you know, and also to really support the work that Lisa's doing via this amazing platform, which is a platform for conscious content. So if ever anyone listening is ever feeling, you know, anxious or frustrated or afraid or whatever's coming up, you know, negative or fear-based, just hop on over to the Buddhist Biohacker and just, you know, be fed and supported and inspired and motivated, because really and truly, this is what it's all about. It's about aligning with the truth of who we are, living true to that, stepping into what we're being called to, and supporting one another via this community, because I can't think of, you know, other places you can go to have as much content, because there's a tremendous amount of content that's available for everybody. So thank you so much, Lisa, and thank you to all of you who are listening in. And remember also to subscribe. You know, it's easy to just kind of hop on and listen and watch, but, you know, subscribing really does make a difference. And also tell your friends and family members about Buddhist Biohacker, because the more people that connect in, you know, the more people wake up to who they are, the better the world will be, and the easier this kind of process of ascension will be as well, or whatever you want to call awakening to who we are and supporting one another to that. So
thank you so much, Julie and Taria. Like, mm-hmm. I got some beautiful emails from clients who just love the Dream Symposium and just felt like they found their home. So get on the Dream Symposium. I mean, it's just really such a sacred space. And thank you so much, Julie. I mean, really, I'm honored to have you be the first download that we've done. And, you know, my intention of the monthly featured guest is to integrate, because there's all this great content. Like Julie, you've been on here like 15 times or something, but there's so much more that you do and offer. And I think it's important for us to give this space and time to be able to connect in. And Julie's books are really accessible. So you can read these, and even in a chapter before Saturday, you're going to have things you want to share and things that happened and questions and all that stuff. And so I encourage all of you, just like Julie said, come on Saturday. It's going to be really, really great. And we had a really great day today. So if you're interested in clairvoyant development and you know, working on your gifts, Deborah Lynn Katz was on today too. And I mean, we're all such great resources. And I think, you know, the thing that's happened here on Buddhist Biohacker is that I've realized or seen or understand that, you know, we were programmed to feel alone, that we were the weird ones, that we're all alone in our little weird worlds that we lived in. And not only are we not alone, but we might actually be the majority, you guys. And light workers are infiltrating YouTube like crazy, and we're all helping each other and building our communities here at Buddhist Biohacker and other communities, and we're joining with other communities. And it's just such a beautiful thing. You know, I mean, we have an incredible, couple credible astrologers. We have a Vedic astrologer, Gilbert, coming on. He's bringing his community. We have Patrick Arundel from the UK, who's really awesome with just Chinese Western astrology. He's going to be on and bringing his YouTube community. So we're just all connecting with each other. And actually, we're actually maybe the majority is having these experiences and being open. And I think it's really important. So thank you both of you for everything that you do and everything that you are, and, you know, being here today. And you guys are just, I can't even believe the amount of comments. I don't even know what I'm going to do with all these, but, you know, we've got whales and hearts and prayers and all these wonderful things. And I'll go through these and see if there's other questions, you know, because oftentimes I take this stuff and we create other shows. So keep them coming. And thank you so much, Julie. Thank you, Tarya. You guys have a great night, great day, wherever you are. Mwah.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone. Lots of love to everyone. Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Lots of love.